Hey guys, Steve here. How is everybody? Today we're going to do some headlines and things. We're going to talk about how our Memorial Day weekend went. And then Paul has some things about superhero stuff he wants to talk about. And if you're new to the show, please just go ahead and subscribe and give us a like. We really appreciate the support. Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Benson. That's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true.
I will totally use that in the beginning.
I promised my daughter I would do that.
Boy.
Because she goes, she was telling me something. Like, she goes, did you know in Australia that it's not called a chips bag, it's called a chips packet? I was like, no, she said, did you know in England? That's it. And I go, well, I don't think they call it chips anything. I think it's called crisps. So maybe it's a crisps packet. And she's like, no, in Australia, it's chips. I go, you said England. She goes, yeah, I figured if it was Australia, it would be. I'm like, where are you hearing all this? She said, well, my friend, blah, blah. Or not my friend, but, you know, it's blah, blah. And I was like, who's blah, blah? And she's like, well, you know, that Australian girl on YouTube. I go, oh, the one with the different color hair? She's like, yeah. I go, the one that starts all her videos with, hey, guys. She's like, all right, they all do that. I'm like, yeah, they all do that.
You're not talking about Wenji, are you?
Wenji, that's it.
God, we're old.
That's it.
My 9-year-old, I make her stop after a while. I'm like, I give her about a half an hour of these. I mean, Wenji's life hacks slay me because they're like, when you want to go outside, open the door. They're so like simplistic.
Hey guys, today we're going to try to make fake blood with just corn syrup, flour, and chocolate sauce. Except with an Australian accent.
An Australian Asian accent.
Hi guys. Anyway, so. Happy Memorial Day.
Yeah.
What's weirder than saying Happy Memorial Day?
Yeah. I like the people that confuse Memorial Day with Veterans Day. My kids, don't wish a veteran Happy Memorial Day. It's like, whoa.
Well, then there's plenty of people that confuse it with Labor Day.
Yeah.
No, come on. One's a conservative Republican holiday, and the other one's a liberal Democrat holiday. Can't confuse those two.
Can't get that.
The only reason we have Labor Day is because the liberals whined and said, why don't we have a day? You guys have Memorial Day. Because we all know only Republicans are in the military. And so they said, well, what do you want? You want it Union Day? And they said, well, that's too obvious. Let's call it Labor Day. But I went to the Indianapolis 500 mile race.
Oh, yeah?
Over the weekend. That was fun.
Yeah. You know, my great aunt used to listen to the Indy 500 on the radio, and she said it used to take like 2.5 days for them. And they'd sit there the whole time listening to the radio.
They're coming out of turn two, headed down the back straightaway toward turn three. We're going to take a little commercial break. And when we come back, we'll have them coming around turn three.
The Indy 500 brought to you by cigarettes. Ah, smoke.
My doctor says smoking Pall Mall will help me relax. So... Well, help me relax during my pregnancy.
Along with a big old glass of wine.
Nothing up my sleeve. Not again. The race was fantastic. Went with some good friends. And, you know, you can bring a cooler with drinks in the cooler into the arena, the racing arena.
Really?
And Yeah, we've been going now 5 or 6 years, yeah, I guess.
I've noticed that. You've been doing it quite a bit.
Yeah. It's fun. And, you know, usually we bring a cooler in with drinks in it. And usually there's a lot of drinking, you know, because if you're sitting there in the hot sun with your cooler, you know, sitting right in front of you, you may drink a lot of the beers that are in the cooler. So I figured this out this year. I thought, you know what? I know me. I know not to put a cooler of beer between my legs in the hot sun at the racetrack. So I'm just going to buy my beer there. And we went to poll day last weekend, which is where they figure out who gets to start first.
Right, right.
Which, again, it's kind of confusing. It's not fair. They make the fastest guy start in the front. I think the fair thing to do would have the slowest guy start in the front.
Do you know
how, so that he would have a head start.
Do you know how long it would take for them to decide who the slowest one was? They're all creeping along at 3 miles an hour. It would take 2.5 days.
Going into turn two, we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're hoping he's coming out of turn two.
Cigarettes. Cigarettes.
So what I decided was, well, when we went to poll day, they had some beer stands that were selling some nice craft beers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's cool. That's what I'll do on race day. I'll just buy those. I won't have the cooler sitting between my legs. I'll just go to the concession stand, buy a beer. And then if I have to walk all that way and then walk all the way back, that will automatically moderate my alcohol consumption, right?
That's the theory.
Good plan. The execution did not work out all that well because the first 20 or so laps go by and I'm like, oh, time for a beer. So I go down and I'm looking for beer and the only beer I can find is $6 for a Miller Lite or a Coors Light.
Sounds about right.
$6 for Coors Light? Y'all must be crazy.
Miller Lite is just the worst beer ever.
What? I thought, why would I pay $2 for that? Why? I'm not going to pay $6. So the result was drank a lot of water. I did break down and buy one Coors Light for the day. And I borrowed a beer. Well, I took a beer from my friend who was sitting next to me. He had brought some Michelob Ultras. So I had one of those. So at the end of the day, I had an experience I've never had before, and that is the race is over, I'm stone cold sober, and I'm going to be the driver. I'm like, usually I don't even remember getting home. I'm going to be driving us home. This is a new experience for me. And then the next day, I wake up at 8:30, get out of bed, have some coffee, enjoy the, you know, birds chirping. Again, well, what? It's like, I mean, that would be like getting up on New Year's early,
ugh,
you know, and enjoying the morning.
Why would you do that?
But we were in turn two, which is the turn two being the second turn around the racetrack. And there were a lot of accidents that happened right in front of where we were sitting. And there was one where they're coming around and dude hits the wall and then starts veering off into traffic. Another guy hit him and used him as like a ramp. Car went up in the air like 20 feet, flew across the racetrack. Another dude drove underneath him and got out from under him. And he landed like sideways on the wall and huge fireball. Car breaks in half, goes flipping down the track, spins around, stops. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, women are, I was telling this to somebody and I go, women were screaming. So I goes, how do you know it wasn't men screaming? I said, men were screaming like women. And Constance goes, oh, just tell him it was you. Like, all right, it was me. I was screaming like a woman. I thought I had just seen somebody die.
Oh,
I thought,
man,
that I had just witnessed a death,
mm-hmm,
right? And car comes to a stop. It's like spinning around. It stops. Dude reaches up, takes his helmet off, climbs out of the car.
Mm.
I'm like, wait, what? And he was perfectly fine.
Yeah, what are they, what are they doing to those cars that they can't do to, like, everybody else's car?
I thought about that. I thought, like, I was thinking about that today. Like, because I was thinking about what could they do? So here's the problem,
mm-hmm,
that I was thinking of. In the Indy 500, there are wrecks every race,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so in fact, 33 cars started the race, 18 finished because all the other ones either their engine blew or they had a crash. So I would say probably 10 of them crashed. And that doesn't count the ones that crashed during the qualifying and the practice and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So your chances of crashing your car are pretty high. So I get going the extra mile on those cars, because they spend, mm-hmm, tens of thousands of dollars, if not millions, on safety innovations.
Mm-hmm.
Like the part of the car that you're sitting in, they call it the tub. And it's basically isolated from the rest of the car. So the rest of the car could just be blown to hell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then just that piece of the car will still be intact. The other thing they have is this 5-point harness that basically you're part of that tub.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And then you have this helmet that's attached to the tub. So basically your body, except for your arms and maybe your legs, are part of this solid piece of metal, right? So I was thinking, so why don't we do that in everyday cars? Well, A, the chances of being in an accident are nowhere near what it is for the Indy 500. Nobody's putting on a 5-point harness, a helmet, and attaching their helmet to the back of their seat when they, you know. I mean, when you and I were in high school, we might have done that. But we didn't want the girl in the passenger seat doing that for obvious reasons.
That's right.
So then that reminded me of, was it Total Recall? Or no, it was Demolition Man. No, it was... It was Demolition Man, where Sylvester Stallone got in the accident and the whole car filled with, like, great stuff.
Yeah.
Foam.
Yeah.
I was like, why don't we do that? How come we don't have that now? But I suppose all of the side airbags and the front and the rear airbags and the overhead airbags and the slob sack airbags. I mean, there's just airbags everywhere. It's probably the same thing. Did that answer your question? I'm sorry.
More than sort of answered my question.
Change the channel, Marge.
Oh, and before that, my daughter sang the national anthem at a minor league baseball game.
That was awesome. I saw that.
I was talking to my brother, but my brother set it all up because he knows the guy that runs the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brother and I went down. We were on the field, and my wife and niece. So we were all down there on the field supporting her. And as we're walking off, I was telling my brother, I said, man, I know it was hard. I said it was difficult, and I wasn't sure what the outcome would be, but I made it through. And I'm really proud of myself. I gutted it out. I said, I didn't know if I'd make it. And, you know, she did okay too, but I knew that I just needed to focus on my task. There were all these people watching. All I needed to do was just focus, and I knew that I could do it. And I want to thank God and my coaches, and really it was team effort, but I'm just really proud of myself for getting through that. My brother almost tripped down the stairs.
You made it through like a boss, man. You were a champ. Mm.
And I got to experience that show business thing. So my brother got us a suite, and so we're up in the suite enjoying the accoutrement that they had up in the mm-hmm. suite, and the general manager walks in the suite and goes, okay, we have the anthem singer, Yes, she's right over here. We got to go right now. I'm like, okay, all right. He's like, anybody that wants to come down, take pictures, whatever, come on. I'm like, okay, here we go. So we're walking. He's like, he's walking fast. We're like, oh, crap, why didn't they come get us sooner? You know, like,
right.
What's this all about? So he walks us down to the field and hands us off to an intern. And we stood there. And we stood there. And we stood there. And we're just waiting around, and they're introducing the players, and they're having contests, and they're introducing the umpires, and we're just like, I think it was my brother. He's like, why did we hurry? I thought we were going to, and I go, dude, this is show business. The producers just want you to be where you're supposed to be, and they don't care how long you have to wait. They just want one less thing to worry about. They bring the talent.
That's right.
Talent's waiting, right? So while we're... So we're standing there waiting. I look at the intern and I'm like, so how are we settling up? Is this going to be check, cash? I mean, is this before she sings or after? How are we doing this? She just looked at me like I, you know, she's like, ah. she looked at me like a deer in headlights until Constance comes over and goes, you don't have to listen to anything he says.
wise advice.
She says, I'm just an intern. You'll have to talk to somebody else about that. Well, you think we're doing this for free? What's wrong with you?
How does she do with stage fright and stuff like that? Is she cool with it?
Yeah, she has exactly the attitude that I like, which is she's nervous
mm-hmm.
and she's afraid,
mm-hmm.
but she does it anyway.
Yeah.
And she gets through it.
I tell my kids, take that thing that's in your stomach that's making you feel all nervous and jumpy and, like, just channel it forward and use it to go forward as opposed to going backwards. And when they were little, they didn't quite understand what that meant, but... Like Atticus will now, he'll do, when the teacher asks, you know, does anybody want to do their speech, you know, ahead of time or first, he's right there to get it done. So, yeah, that's you know, that's important, I
think.
That's
awesome. Well, yeah, I like that. And, you know, use it to go forward. Don't let it repel you back.
Right.
Use it as a guide.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because if I'm nervous about this, it must mean I really care.
Yeah.
It must be really important to me. So I better step into it.
Well, it's energy. You know? You can use it to go forward or backwards. Yes. So. Use it to go forward.
True. And the, you know, the reverse of that where somebody just doesn't, like, they're like, no, I'm not nervous. I'm not scared. Why should I be? Then I kind of go, wonder how much they care. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want you to be a little bit nervous.
Years ago when we used to do that poetry night at the coffee shop in Michigan City, before we get everything set up and then we go out to whoever was involved in putting the show together, we go out to eat and then come back and do the show. And that usually consisted of me having about three or four scotches before we got started. And one day, one of the newbies was sitting there looking at me, and so I'm like, you know, drinking my second scotch. And she's like, you drink before the show? And I'm like, I'm not going up there alone.
That's a good one.
I borrowed that from Dean Martin. I actually said it like Dean Martin because that was his joke. Henry Silva told him, you can't go out there with that. And he's like, I'm not going out there alone. He's got his glass of scotch.
This bores me. Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
So we've talked a lot about performing mm-hmm. and performances and going to see performances. Is there a Facebook question of the day in there somewhere?
Maybe something like, most embarrassing public performance, you know, because everybody has one. Everyone's like gambled and lost on stage. And
most embarrassing moment in front of a crowd?
That sounds perfect.
Okay, how about most embarrassing moment in front of a crowd? Go.
Works for me.
And there it went. So, speaking of performances, the big deal these days seems to be, I believe there's a new Wonder Woman coming up.
Mm-hmm. Or a Wonder Woman period coming up, yes.
There's a Wonder Woman coming up. It's not new?
No. Well, it's the only one. So, yes, it is new.
There's never been a Wonder Woman movie?
No, sir. That's what makes us think it's a big deal.
Has she appeared in a movie?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. She briefly appeared in Superman. Was it Batman versus Superman? And she was the only part about that movie worth watching.
That's right. Toward honestly. The end, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is her time now.
Nice. And mm-hmm. Does Linda Carter have a cameo?
I don't know if Linda Carter has a cameo or not, but Gal Cabot, who plays Wonder Woman in this movie, had Linda Carter on the red carpet for the premiere, which was awesome.
So it's out.
It comes out. By the time our listeners hear this, it will be out. Yeah, it starts Friday the 5th.
Oh,
and I'm gonna go see it. I'm gonna go see it Saturday.
Nice. So, excellent.
By next week, I'll have a review of it.
You taking the girl?
Not the first time.
All right.
I like to go see superhero movies by myself and then take my kids.
Ah.
So I can enjoy them the first time around.
Well, what prevents you from enjoying them when your kids are there? They ask a lot of questions?
Yeah, typically.
So what's the history of Wonder Woman? When did she first appear?
Wonder Woman first appeared back during World War II. She's the product of William Moulton Marsden, who was a psychologist / woman's activist / polygamist, almost. I think he was in a he had multiple females as a, you know, in relationships with multiple females, all kind of like in a convent-y kind of way.
Yeah.
But he was very pro woman, so all
sounds
of his,
like it.
Yeah. All of his all the thought and work he put into Wonder Woman comes from his philosophies about women and women's rights and things like that. In fact, he's the guy Marsden created the prototype that later went on to become the lie detector, which is why she carries the lasso of truth around with her.
Oh, wow.
Because that's kind of a thing. Yeah.
So she turned up in World War II. In whose comic, like what comic did she show up in?
Sensational, I think is what it was called. Back then they would have adjectives to describe for the titles of their comics, and they would rotate various cast members throughout the comic's existence.
Okay.
And I think it was Sensational number one. And from there, she eventually they would turn those titles into, like, they would drop the Sensational and just give her own title or whoever's title from there.
Okay.
And the best part of the funny thing is she started out on her own. Then when she joined, you know, where she did a lot of really cool stuff and had a lot of really, you know, all her, but they're just great. Different, way different. The artwork was superior. Everything was so different than a lot of the male superheroes of the day. And then when all the mystery men in the DC universe got together to form the Justice Society, Wonder Woman was part of that. But there she was. She was the secretary. She was taking the notes and getting the coffee. She was, like, arguably one of the two most powerful characters of that team. But there she is, taking notes and getting coffee.
That's why Hidden Figures was such a great movie. Because it's like typical 1950s, 60s. Not only were they women, but black. And it's like she had to drink her own coffee out of her own coffee. Then he's like, you know, all the coffee here is black. So.
That's right. That was a great movie. I enjoyed that movie tremendously.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. The only thing that would have made it better is if they had the right actors playing the right characters.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they needed Gene Hackman, I think, needed to be in there. And who's that other guy?
And anyway. What was it? The guy who played John Glenn in The Right Stuff.
Right.
You know, Ed Harris. Ed Harris needed to play John
Ed Harris.
Glenn.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't look at this guy and go, okay, you're supposed to be John Glenn. No. Ed Harris is John Glenn.
That's right. Not this really young looking dude. Okay. So thanks. We look forward to hearing your review of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Is it called Wonder Woman?
It's called Wonder Woman. Dude, it is the most, like critics are just going nuts over this movie. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 97%. That's like the highest percent they ever gave a superhero movie. Really? Yeah, it's going crazy.
Well, you know what? I'm going to write a note. You know how they used to do that? Like, what our listeners can't see is I just licked my pen. Yeah. I used to do that when something was really important.
Because you wanted that ink to flow faster, apparently.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Like me some flowing ink. All right. Wonder Woman. I think we should go see Wonder Woman this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to go Saturday to a matinee, so hopefully I won't be like, there'll be places to sit.
And I'll probably take my kids with me.
You don't want to enjoy the movie? No, seriously, you need to. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those kind of movies, you know?
I'll enjoy it through them.
As far as for my money, more so than Superman, Wonder Woman is probably the most important superhero ever created. Because up until she came out, women were basically second-class characters. They didn't have any powers, or they were the female counterparts of, like Hawkman would have Hawkgirl, stuff like that. Wonder Woman comes out, and not only does she have powers, but she's every bit as powerful as Superman is. And it's ridiculous that it has taken 70 odd years for her to get a movie. Especially considering the Linda Carter TV show dominated the airwaves back in the 70s.
Yeah, that is kind of weird, because it was iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, here we are. It's 2017 before Wonder Woman gets a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're lucky.
How so?
Well, I mean, maybe now we're finally ready to do her justice.
There is
like
that.
If it had been made in the 80s, she might have had big hair and still been like second-class citizen, you know?
There is that, yeah. I think we're at that point where, you know, now is the time. It's either now or we're just off the pot.
Yeah, I mean, now we love women, hate Muslims. So, not a good time for a Muslim superhero right now.
Well, unless you're Miss Marvel, whose book is doing quite well, but that's beside the point. That's a whole different podcast.
Is she Muslim?
Well, yes, the new one is, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, the original Miss Marvel became Captain Marvel so that Miss Marvel could be a Muslim. And not only is she a Muslim, but she's like half American, half Muslim, and then she's also got alien blood tied into her. So she's a total immigrant, but her comic is doing quite well, and you know, and it's pretty entertaining.
This show is nothing if not culturally aware, right? I mean, we will point out when somebody's half American and half Muslim.
Well, you know what I meant.
My wife's half Catholic and half American, so I know exactly what you mean. So that reminds me actually of a story that I'll tell you on the other side of the break.
Well, I don't think we can. I don't think we can say half white, and because that's kind of a like, well, there's all kinds of white people all over the world, so.
Well, you can't say half Muslim and half American.
I mean, as far as her, you know, her. Her father came from Muslim, Muslim land, that country. I don't exactly know her lineage, but no, she is in fact Muslim, and you know,
probably somewhere in the Middle East, though. I'm guessing
where the brown people hang out.
Somewhere over there. I'm just gonna let you keep talking.
No, I think we'll go to break.
Okay.
You know, the life of the bounty hunter was pretty rough.
He lived hard.
And he moved fast.
Oh.
Thanks, Ray. I'm off stage, I like to stop and think, figure things out. That's why I smoke Viceroy. And when you think your way through all the filter claims, you come to the cigarette with the thinking man's filter, the smoking man's taste. Viceroy, the thinking man's filter and the smoking man's taste.
I feel tears welling up, calling deep inside, like my heart's sprung a big prick. And the stab of loneliness sharp and painful that I may never shake. Now you might say that I was taking it hard since you wrote me off with a call. But don't you wager that I'll hide the sorrow when I may re-ride down and bow. Now the race is on and here comes pride up the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love scratched for another's sake. The race is on and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all. One day I ventured in love, never once suspecting what the final result would be. How I lived in fear of waking up each morning and finding that you'd gone from me. There's aching and pain in my heart, for the day was the one that I headed to face. Somebody new came up to win her, and I came out in second place. Now the race is on, and here comes pride at the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love scratched for another's sake. The race is on and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all.
Welcome back to the show. The Don't Panic Show. Funny thing happened today. You know, this neighborhood we live in seems like every time I turn around, there's another evangelical Christian. I think it's a Central Indiana thing.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know how much of that you run into up there. But every time we meet somebody new, we start out with, oh, they seem kind of cool. Yeah, they seem kind of cool. Yeah, it'll be fun getting to know these people. Yeah, well, won't it? Hey, so where do your kids go to school? Heritage Christian, which is an evangelical school up the road here. Mm-hmm. They're like, ah. Oh. All right. So then there's this one guy. He used to be a news guy here in town. His name is Ken Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And I still like him, but... We first met him, I liked him, and like we're getting to know each other and everything. And then he's like, it's like, how was your day, Ken? And he's like, ah, oh, it was good. You know, funny thing happened to me last week. He says, my nephew had hip problems and he was going to have surgery. And I thought, why don't I just lay hands on him? And so I did. I laid hands on him. And then next thing you know, he doesn't need to have the surgery. I don't pretend to understand how the Lord works, but I thought that was really something. It was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers at the end when she's like, no, I'm not you too. So we have been really excited and I'm still excited. Don't get me wrong. This is still fine. But we met this family moved in a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and we just met them last weekend. We were out walking the dog and met him, and all the kids were outside playing, and he, you know, we actually started out talking to the kids. He came out, we're getting to know him, you know, and, you know, gets around to the, and he's like hipster looking, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. he's got the slick back hair. He's got a little bit of facial hair, like awesome, like hipster shoes.
Was he wearing mantyhose?
He was probably wearing mantyhose. Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, I'd be okay with mantyhose.
I know.
I'm tired of the looks I get in the Walgreens when I'm in the women's section picking up pantyhose. If I can get me some mantyhose.
That's right. Because that won't give you looks at all. Anyway, no. Please continue.
So it's like, oh, this is cool. Like, how many of these kids are yours? He's like, all of them. Oh. How many total is that? He's like, seven. And to her credit, that's when the alarm bells went off for Constance. Me, I was just like, well, a lot of people are starting to have more kids these days. I mean, he's only like 31, but still. And then we're just talking. We're like, oh, it's so cool. They're outside playing. That's great. You know, he's like, yeah, they're pretty much outside all day, morning to night. It's great. You know, they love being outside playing. Well, we don't have a TV, so there's really not much else for them to do. That's when the alarm bells went off in my head.
Of course.
Because you remember the kids at our evangelical mm-hmm. church that didn't have the TV, right?
Yep.
Like, that was funny because in our church, where people spoke in tongues and talked about, like, Jesus being responsible for every single aspect of their life, this family that didn't have a TV, they were considered hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, our whole church was hardcore. If you want to be hardcore among the hardcore,
yeah,
get rid of your TV. But he tempered it a little bit because he said, well, you know, we do Sling TV. You know what Sling TV is? I was like, yeah, I know what that is. He's like, we do that. Because that's TV over the internet, basically. He's like, well, there's no contract, so we'll sign up for it, like, when the Olympics are on, we'll watch the Olympics and, you know, cancel it. And it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe this isn't so bad. I don't know. So where do your kids go to school? Oh, we homeschool. Mm. Duh! Another one.
Now, they're just not homeschooling. They're homeschooling the kids that dinosaurs and man walked the earth together. And somehow dinosaur missed the ark. That's the kind of homeschool they're doing.
I like this Noah's Ark paintings where there's two lions, but they're both male.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, wait a minute. So, okay, but nothing, there's, you know, so there's no smoking gun, right? It's like all of this evidence is piling up. It's all circumstantial, right? Maybe they're just new agey, like homeschooling their seven kids who they don't want to watch the TV because they don't want the, you know, the corporations poisoning their minds with consumerism, right? Could be that.
Sure.
Sure.
Or it could be the Duggars moved in next door to you, too.
Duggars moved in. Right. They don't have seven. They have 27. And the rest, they're like hiding them from the rest of the neighborhood until, you know, we get used to them. Let's not bring all the kids out right now. Today, the girls went over. They found they actually kind of happy about this. They went across the street to a creek. What I didn't realize is this creek gets pretty deep. Like, I thought it was like a typical Indiana creek, which is basically glorified ditch.
Yeah, yes.
I've never been to it, though. So they went to it today with these other kids and got in it and swam. Like, it's deep enough. It's probably like 3 feet, 3.5 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like swimming around and stuff. And I thought, oh, that's great. Because we were thinking about making friends with the people that have a swimming pool.
I think I know where this is going.
But we didn't have to do that. Yeah, not. No, you don't.
Okay.
You don't. So anyway, so they went and did that. So it was getting close to dinner time. So I was going to go walk over there and get them. You know, and as I'm walking out, I was like, oh, one of the boys left his book and is, you know, laying on our deck. I'm like, well, that's interesting. You know, he brought a book with him. That's cool. So I go over and I thought, well, maybe it's one of our kids, but I don't know whose book it is. I'm going to go look at it. Title of the book was, "It Wouldn't Be Possible Without Him." And it said, "The Story of Our God's Awesome Creation." And toward the top, it said, "He created all of it. Proof's inside." And I was like, Smoking Gun, Dear God.
You're the opposite of me. See, I have this thing about the longer you know somebody, the easier it is to make excuses for them. I see Rich right away, and I'm like, nope, done, bye, and I'll close the door. You're like, well, maybe, you know,
I'm a benefit of the doubt kind of guy, you know?
Clearly.
Well, even so, even with this overwhelming evidence, I thought, well, this is a book he was reading. He left it here. Okay, so they're creationists. Weird, but whatever, right? So then I get the kids, and I was like, hey, one of the kids left their book over here. And she goes, oh, he's letting me borrow it.
Oh.
He didn't leave it. He's letting me borrow it. I was like, oh, well, that's okay. Like, well, I almost said don't read it. But then I was like, well, you can read it if you want. But I said, you know, a lot of scientists don't agree with that. She goes, oh, I know. I'm probably not going to read it. She goes, we got on the topic of God. And I just said, you know, I'm not even sure God's real. And the next time I saw him, he had this book. He's like, here, you should read this book.
He ran home and got it.
He ran home and he's like, Mom, Dad, I don't know what to do. They don't think God's real. What do we do? Son, we knew this day would come. It's time for you to learn how to evangelize.
Remember your training. See, I thought you were
remember
like...
your training.
I thought you'd be like, well, you know, so I went to go get the girls from the creek, and I looked over. They got white, you know, sheets on, and they're holding my daughter under the water, and I'm thinking, well, maybe, I don't know, they're teaching her how to swim. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way.
See, isn't that messed up? I'm a stone cold atheist, erring on the side of the believing in the ancient astronaut, and I still love gospel music. But not white gospel music, because that's the, and by white, I mean, yeah, you know what I mean by white gospel music.
You mean half white, half Muslim, half yeah. American.
Yeah, that kind of gospel music.
Half black, half. How many halves is that? A lot.
A lot.
So that was a smoking gun.
that was a corpse, a bullet hole, a smoking gun, and a confession note. And just like, well, you know, maybe you're like Henry Fonda in 12 Angry Men. You're like, I don't know. Come on, guys. Let's.
Well, you tell me what. Okay, so that reminded me of one of those hypotheticals that the kids do these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, would you rather have your 12-year-old daughter hanging out with boys ages ranging from 10 to 14? Would you rather have them hanging out with those boys who are, you find out and you're finally convinced, are evangelical Christians? Or you find out they're being raised by free-loving hippies.
Either boy is dangerous when you think about it, because we were quasi-evangelical. We were trying to basically nail anything that moved. So they're free-loving hippies, or you know,
they're all trying to nail something.
That's right. I'm gonna nail her like Jesus to the cross.
But we weren't homeschooled. I mean, we weren't homeschooled from an early age either.
That's true.
And we didn't start out evangelical. We started out just whatever, and then we're like, oh, look, church.
We went to Springfield. We were barely schooled.
But still, there's a danger, right? There's a danger that they will plant something in, like my daughters could become like us, which would be the, oh, well, I'm going to late in life discover, like late in my teen years or early teen years, discover this thing, and then I'm just going to go whole hog into it.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, so that there's a danger there, right? There's the danger that they will withdraw from us because we clearly aren't that. And maybe they'll get sucked into that world, right? So mm-hmm. Next thing you know, they're running off to Jamestown in Guyana,
whatever. Oh, wow. Right? Wow.
So there's that danger. But then the other side of the spectrum danger would be, you know, there's some 14-year-old boy who's been around the block a few times, knows how to make a girl feel important and wanted, taking advantage of my 12, soon to be 13-year-old daughter, right? So which would you rather? It's the would you rather game. Of course, they're both dangerous. They both suck. But which one would you rather face? That should be our Facebook question of the day.
Write that down. Well, continuing from last week's theme, would you rather?
Change the channel, Marge.
How about we do some headlines? They all come from Google News this week. This first one, brace yourselves. The Scripps National Spelling Bee finals are Thursday. And the reason I picked that one is I swear to God, when I first read it, I read it as the Crips National Spelling Bee finals.
There's the Dave Chappelle skit right there.
I read it and it said brace yourselves. So I thought, okay, there's something weird, something scary, something unusual. The Crips National Spelling Bee.
See, initially I'm picturing like Sean Bean, you know, standing there with his sword, you know, but he's got the Crips behind him. Brace yourselves.
Right.
Brace yourselves.
Still.
It writes itself. You should just start doing, you know, like a fake news site. Just take something like that, you know, or uh-oh.
Oh, man.
We've had it.
I think I know who this is. All right. I better get it. Hang on a second. Hold on. What? Hang on. Hello.
Hey, man.
Oh, hey, 130,000-year-old Mastodon. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm always good. You know I'm good. I heard you guys talking about the Crips having a spelling bee.
Yeah? Well, I think it was actually the Scripps.
I know it's the Crips. I know what that is. I'm in that spelling bee. I'm in the finals.
Wow. You're in the Scripps? Spelling Bee finals?
No, the Crips.
Oh, is that, how does that work?
We be against the Bloods. We decided to stop fighting and start spelling. More spelling, less stabbing. That's what we decided. So the Scripps against the Bloods and the Latin Kings moderate. The Latin Kings moderate.
So the Latin Kings,
you know they're good at spelling, those Mexicans.
I thought, are they all Mexicans? I don't know. The Guatemalans and Nicaraguans and
all them different kind of ends. You know? Anyway, I'm in the finals. You believe that?
Well, it is a little hard to believe. I mean, how many words did you guys have when you were
kids? Well, it's a spell man with a stick chasing, you know, Mastodon. Well, leg, arm.
It's a drawing.
That's right.
I didn't draw that. Man, we didn't draw that on our caves. We didn't draw man with stick chasing Mastodon. We draw Mastodon stomping on man's head. That's what we did. And then that's why I'm good at the Crips spelling bee, because that's what they do too.
Well, thanks for calling in. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. Hey, call us back next week and let us know how you did.
I will. You believe that?
All right, man. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Dude, the white person in me goes, you know, if the Crips and the Bloods would just do a spelling bee.
Yeah.
Why can't we all just get along and spell words together? That's how they would decide, like, who gets what drug turf. It's like, you don't need to have a gang war. You get that corner, and you get that. And the more words you spell right, the more you, the more drug turf you get.
And then they inadvertently get an education, and then they go out and they get a job.
What they do is they get an education, and they get really smart, and they get even better at acquiring and distributing illicit drugs.
That you're probably right.
Look, I am not a gang expert, but I believe that, logically speaking, the popular image of gang member as being this, he dropped out of school and he just wanders the streets and he's not smart. Yeah. He's just a thug.
He's living just enough for the city.
Yeah. Those are the soldiers.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the grunt soldiers. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the intricacy of the drug distribution network and how the finances have to work and how everything, like, from turf, like, to distribution, to customer acquisition, to, you know, it's got to be, these guys got to be pretty smart.
Oh, yeah.
And not only do they have to run that kind of operation, but they have to be politically aware. I don't mean like government politics. I just mean, like, they got to figure out how to stay in power.
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody's going to want. I don't think enough movies have been done around this topic.
Have you seen the movie Keanu with Key and Peele?
No.
You should check it out. It's pretty funny. It's along the lines of gang wars and stuff like that and drugs, but perhaps we should move on before we...
This one has me confused.
Not unlike the last one.
Right. I didn't even write down the headline. I just wrote down a question. What is Covfief?
Dude, I hope so. I had to Google that this morning. I woke up and my Facebook wall was just covered in it. What the hell is this? So I Googled it, or I looked it up on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
Have you read it? Look it up on Urban Dictionary. Read the definition.
No, this is funny. You know what's funny?
Hmm.
Would you like to hear something funny?
Sure.
If you go to urbandictionary.com and don't type in anything else, mm-hmm. the word of the day is covfief.
Yes, yes.
Like, I don't even have to search for it. It's just there. It just comes up.
Right.
Covfief. When you want to say coverage, but your hands are too small to hit all the letters on your keyboard.
That's the one that killed me. Because that was the one that popped up this morning. Well, that was the first one. It's been added to since, but man, it's...
The second definition is, it literally means covfef. Originated from Donald Trump's tweet, despite the constant negative press covfef, it's time to nuke this place down. What's the code? Covfef. The foggy feeling you get when you can't believe a political leader is so dumb. Okay, you know, I like the first one best because all the rest of them are just like,
yeah,
too direct and on the nose.
Yeah.
When you want to say coverage, but your hands are too small to hit all the letters on your keyboard. This last one says that Wall Street little changed as financials drop, defensive stocks gain. All right. I am not a financial expert, but one thing is, when the financial stocks go down and the defense company stocks go up enough to make up for any losses in the financial stocks,
mm-hmm.
if you're on the enemy list of the United States, you probably ought to hide. Now would be a good time to find a nice bunker somewhere, you know, in the hills, maybe retire.
This has been a public service announcement by your friends at the Don't Panic radio show.
Yeah. I'm not saying to panic, but chances are the stock market, which is, you know, often correct, believes that the United States is about to print a bunch of money, which is why the financial stocks are going down, and buy and use that money that they're going to print to buy a bunch of bombs and drones and planes and bombs. And zombie. It's in my cabin. In my cabin. Oh. Yeah, so that's the first thing I thought when I read that.
I think, dude, that was not irresponsible headline interpretation. That was accurate headline interpretation.
Somebody about to get bombed. I don't know, maybe that should have been the Facebook question of the day. Who would you like to have bombed first?
Who would you kevev first?
Who would you kevev first? All right. Speaking of Facebook question of the day, we have some answers. Oh my gosh, they're all long. Do you want to cover them next week, maybe? Because there's like stories.
Why don't we hit on one or two of them and then cover it in full next week? Just like one or two. Yeah, like the first couple or whatever.
Leslie White says, cantering at Queen of All Saints. One Sunday, I made a mistake and froze right in the middle of service. I don't know what cantering is. I thought it was a way that a horse runs.
What kind of stuff is he into?
Billy McConnell says, morning sickness in front of a crowd I was doing an open enrollment meeting for. Was not pretty. Constance Wilhair Vinson, my lovely bride, delicate flower that she is. I would imagine it would be farting while doing the worm. You know, that breakdancing move. I don't think we're going to do any better than that.
No.
On these. That I was not present for. And I can't wait to hear more. Oh, man. That's crazy. I can't believe it's already been an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Today has gone by quickly. I want to apologize to the fans for the horrible audio quality last week. That was totally my fault. And it bums me out because I'm really happy about the content last week. And then the audio sucked.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've done worse. If you go back and listen to the first, you know, half dozen or six episodes, we've done worse. But you know.
Well, I think it'll be good too to follow up with SFJ after he's had a chance to play on that server, mm-hmm. on that Minecraft server for a while.
Yeah, I think so too.
And maybe get some input from his son. That would be kind of cool. Daddy goes poopy. So, did you have anything else you wanted to cover? Any new business?
You can't beat Daddy Goes Poopy.
Okay. In that case. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Benson. Hey, if you like what you hear, why don't you share it with a friend? Our goal is to double our number of listeners in the next 10 minutes. So, all that will take is for each one of you to share this with a friend. If you don't know how to do that, talk to us. We'll tell you how to do that. We'd love for more people to hear this because we think we're doing some good stuff here. All right?
Right.
Once again, for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. This has been the Don't Panic Radio Show. Nothing.
Just heard. Up in the morning, find myself again alone.
What a time.